Friday to the Take Two family, and welcome to your show. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and we've got a special treat today. Jerry Usher will be checking in at the end of the show with a seminary update, so we're super excited about that, and we can't wait to have him back on a regular schedule on Take Two, but we're going to hear what's going on with his classes, so that's exciting. That's at the end of the show, so you got to stay tuned in the entire hour, and you can't get started with your weekend yet, because this is our monthly All About Relationships show. So if you have any type of relationship that you want to highlight, you want to praise, you want to complain about, you want to ask questions about, anything and everything about relationships, even your relationship with yourself or your pet or maybe the most important relationship, your relationship with God, this is the time, this is the show to call in. It's super easy. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. All you have to do is dial this number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Please start dialing if there's a relationship you'd like to talk about today. And I'm going to ask a couple questions because I noticed that in coaching and life coaching, that's the work that Jerry and I do and others. We have a huge panel of coaches and an outreach ministry. I say huge because there's about like 10 of us, but it feels like it's a huge group because we're trying to get out there and help so many souls. At standtalltoday.com. That's where you can find us. It is interesting. People are calling in complaining about their relationships with their children, their adult children. They're very frustrated. They find it to be just exhausting. It drains them of all their energy. They've tried to be really great parents and grandparents, and now their adult children are just really being very picky about the relationship and criticizing, very critical and judgmental of parents and grandparents. And it's really bothering folks, and they're calling in saying, what do I do? You know, I thought I was a great parent. I thought I did good with my kids. And, you know, now they're all grown and they're very successful. They have families of their own, but yet they're just so disrespectful. And parents are frustrated. They really are. So that's we can talk about that. And I can share some of the things that we've been imparting to the clients that come to us and that might help you today going into the weekend. Also, there's so many things I want to highlight. First of all, we always highlight the saint of the day or the saints of the day, and we have saints today that are very important. You really should learn the story of the Korean martyrs. So we have Saints Andrew Kim Taegon and Paul Chung Hoosung and companions. That's today for the saints of the day. And it's important that we learn what has happened in the lives of our saints, especially the ones I think that were martyred for the faith, because it really can get us to be in a better position to face some of the things that we have to endure in this world. And so that's why the lives of the saints, I think, are so relevant and important for us today. Well, they always are, because they are cheerleaders. They are in the beatific vision, and they are truly wanting us to get to heaven as well. And so we can lean on them and ask them for help during difficult situations. It's all about relationships. So you can talk about your relationship with maybe your guardian angel, your relationship with a particular saint, like a go-to saint. I think by now the Take Two family knows that I absolutely love Saint Padre Pio. That's why tomorrow on the Spirit World, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, heard right here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, produced by Guadalupe Radio Network. Adam and I are going to be discussing the whole hour about Padre Pio's personal devotions. Okay, it's going to be a very interesting angle on his life, because oftentimes when we talk about Padre Pio, we talk about all his special spiritual gifts that he has received and everything that he's done for us, but we don't really talk about him that much. And so we're going to do that tomorrow on the Spirit World. But then Monday on Take Two, I need you to call in, because it is the feast day of Saint Padre Pio. He's a fabulous saint that so many of us go to, we lean on, and he's very active in the world. We know because people have reported stories all over the world, seeing him come into hospital rooms and arrive on the scene at certain times. And it's very interesting how active he is with his spiritual sons and daughters. And when he adopts a spiritual son or daughter, he takes on the whole family. So the whole family is included in that. So he's got a lot of work that he's still doing. And Monday is his feast day. And so on take two, I'm going to be asking you to call in and share if he was active and has been active in your life. And I'll share some stories. That's Monday. But today, so that's relationships. So it's all about relationships. Today, we're talking, what relationship do you want to discuss? Now, we do have a caller on the line already, and I'm gonna get to them. Let me see if I have enough time to say hello. Actually, I do. So let's go to James. I have enough time to say hello before the break. So James is in Kansas City, Missouri. Hello, James, and welcome. Oh, and you're listening on EWTN.com. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Go right ahead.
So I've been married for about 15 years, and for a large portion of that marriage, I wasn't always completely honest with my wife. Ranging from either money or fantasy football, or I'll just say my sexual brokenness, ranging on a whole variety of topics. Over the last few years, I've kind of had an awakening of sorts within that, thanks be to God. And I've transformed my life by the grace of God. However, in that time, my wife has discovered a lot of my past failures, and has had a very difficult time forgiving me, and now trusting me at all. I'm hoping that eventually we can work through this, and hopefully she can get counseling and I can get counseling, and maybe together. However, she's been very reluctant on that. So I guess I'm ultimately just asking for everyone's prayers to help us through this, so that we can come back together as a family.
Okay, so real quickly, James, because we're going to hit the pause button in a minute, but I'd like to ask you just a couple more questions. I've got you and your wife. God knows who your wife is in the book. Do you have children with her?
We do. We have two children.
Two children. And you've been married how many years?
15.
And you're together or are you separated?
We are together.
You're together. Okay. So can you hold on, James? I just have a quick comment, but you hear the music. I can't move the break. So if you could just hang on just for a little bit through the break, and then I just want a quick comment to give you some hope and encouragement today. We're talking all about relationships on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. This is our monthly show where we talk about any and all relationships, good, bad, ugly, and in between. So please call us.
When you call my name, I'll be there.
That is so true. All about relationships. We'll be there for each other. That's how the mystical body of Christ works. So we're talking with James in Kansas City, Missouri. James, one second. I just wanted to share with our listeners, and you can join in on this conversation if there's a relationship you'd like to talk about, you'd like to ask some questions, you'd like to highlight, you'd like to praise, anything and everything, and we're willing to entertain it, because this is important. This is a show directly related to relationships that we encounter so that we can learn and grow together. If you'd like to join in, please, you don't have to be Catholic to call in, and please don't get started with your weekend yet. You got to dial 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And James, I just wanted to share with our listeners about Laudate. Along with the great Catholic content on the Laudate app, you can listen to the EWTN radio live stream. Open the Laudate app, then click on EWTN. It's that simple, and it's very cool. I love the Latin name for that app. It's very awesome. Okay, James, back with you. So you had this awakening, and your wife is hesitant to forgive and forget, right? So a couple things I just wanted to share just from my experience in being a life coach for many years. First of all, I want to just say I'm so grateful to God that you had this change of heart and mind and a new understanding, and you're approaching your life and your vocation as a husband and a father in a different way. So kudos to you. That's awesome. And a great amount of praise goes to you for getting through that and evolving in that area and having this awakening. Okay. But when the trust is broken and when things seem, unsettled and kind of, there's this uneasiness of where the security is, where, do I have safety in this marriage and things like that. Your wife is going to need constant healing and reinforcement. And what I mean by constant, and as I know it can be talk about being exhausting. It can be something that can really feel like, wow, this is never going to end. I'm constantly going to be under this and I have to prove myself over and over again. It's not exactly like that. If you look at it like this, it's really encouraging each other to trust, building that bridge, that connection, continuing to grow together as a husband and wife and as a family, and to really strengthen the bonds there. And it can be exciting. It can be a new kind of existence in the marriage and in the family if you approach it that way. So I would definitely encourage you and your wife to really pursue the right counselors for both of you individually and together, and take it on as something that can be the next chapters of your life that are very refreshing because they are brand new. You've wiped the slate clean and you're now in this building mode of making your marriage stronger and stronger. But I will tell you, when they say like things like time heals all wounds and stuff like that, in this case, when you have this kind of broken trust, or she feels hurt or disappointed in what she expected in the marriage and it wasn't that way for 15 years, it's not necessarily true. It's not necessarily true that one day she's just going to wake up and go, okay, all's forgotten, let's move on. So it really must be this effort that you guys join together and build back your marriage in a stronger way. I'm sure you probably got that if you've gone through counseling already. I'm sure you probably already realized that, but I just don't want you to sit on it. I want you to get excited about the future. What do you say, James?
And I'll say I am. Obviously a lot of shame continues to get brought up. We've been battling through this for the last two and a half years now. And I think it's difficult. I realize the trauma that I have caused her. But when the reluctance to seek a counselor or even talk to the priest about it on her end makes it very difficult to feel like we're going to move past it, I guess.
Why is she reluctant? Why is she hesitant to do that? Does she want to keep the marriage and family together?
I guess it depends on what day of the week you ask. Some days it's more positive than others. And I guess ultimately she has been hesitant to talk to anybody about it.
Is she still angry? Is she in the anger phase? Where is she at?
Yeah. I'd say very much in the anger phase at times. Other times, not as much. It definitely is kind of a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm. Is she Catholic, James?
She is.
And you're Catholic?
I am.
Okay, you got married in the church?
We did, yep. Okay. She actually came into the church 7 years ago.
Because of you?
Ultimately, yes, I guess so. I was a born Catholic.
Yeah, and that's what that's going to add to her disappointment as well, because she's made a lot of movement towards you, and then there was these hurts and disappointments coming her way, so she's really got the walls up. Okay, so, and you, there's no way you can get in front of a priest to kind of set a plan forward to start to heal this and work together?
I have been able to talk to a priest, and I've talked to a counselor a couple of times. She has just been very reluctant about it.
Okay. So here's what I would suggest, if you're open to it. We're going to pray. Okay, and obviously you're praying because you're very concerned about this enough to call in. So continue to pray. Add some fasting, okay? It doesn't have to be fasting from food. Add some fasting to get some forward movement. We need some more heavenly support to get her to want to be open to even counseling or instruction or something of that nature, especially from a priest at first. Okay, so let's add fasting. Be very committed to it and be very, very gentle, very, very gentle. And I'm sure you are, James, very gentle with her because she's in a vulnerable place. But what I would do if it were me is I would constantly be promoting what can be, how the future can be much better, how the graces can be received in a proper way going forward. Paint the picture forward of hope and happiness and healing going forward. Trying to therapize each other. I don't know if you do that or if there's some anger and there's tossing criticism or reminding people of the past and dragging it up. It doesn't help. None of that helps. As a matter of fact, you probably won't even find God anywhere in that because that's all stuff that's gonna turn out to be disastrous. And I bet you that if you've ever gotten into those kinds of arguments or debates with your wife over the past, it doesn't end well, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So don't even do it because God's not even present there. So don't even waste your time on that. That's such a negative thing there. What you want to do is go into scripture, go into the living word of God, ask if she would start to pray with you. Is she praying with you even for 2 minutes a day?
We don't really pray together, except when we go to church together. We'll go to church with our kids because they go to a Catholic school. And they go to church 4 days a week there.
Okay.
And so I will often come into work late and go to church with her and with the kids a couple mm-hmm. of days a week. But besides that, we don't typically pray together. That's just
okay.
never been part of our relationship, sadly.
Okay, well, you can always start today. What you can say is that you talk to somebody and you realize that 2 minutes of prayer once a day with my beautiful bride, and that's what you're going to say to her, is wonderful. And if she would be willing to, even if she doesn't want to pray with you, just to sit there and let you, and simply 2 minutes, say a genuine Our Father from the heart, a Hail Mary, and a Glory Be. And that's all you have to do because it's coming from your heart. Start there, James, but you need to, why I say you need to do that is you want to start to build that healing and bringing God into the center of your relationship. So you want to do whatever you can. Now, going to mass with the kids, excellent. Keep that up, but you want to keep building. Be thinking you're in the building phase, okay? Yeah. Keep me posted. If you need any help, you can always reach out to me. Take2@EWTN.com.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, James. God bless you. And I've got you in the book. Okay, thank you. James is going to free that phone line. Everybody's praying already, so I love the Take Two family. If you want to jump in, we're talking all about relationships today. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. And if you have any recommendations or suggestions for James, please call in because that's how the Take Two family works. So we don't want to sit this out and just think I'm going to take care of it for you guys. This is a group effort. That's what Take Two is all about. We do this together as the Take Two family. So let's go to Sandy in Madison, Alabama on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Sandy. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you very much. I just wanted to call and give hope to the previous caller talking about his, relationship and problems with his wife after having infidelity and various things happen. I had the similar thing happen. I'm still married to the same man in 46 years. I only found Catholic counseling, Catholic-based counselors. Finally found one who really helped me the most many years into our issues. My husband would never go. But because I changed, because I came to understand through programs like yours and other great programs on EWTN how to forgive. Can't forget, but you forgive and you move on because God says you need to forgive. Mm-hmm. I just want to give him hope. And then secondly, I just want to ask for prayers. I'm one of many people who call into you. who have adult children, beautiful grandchildren, none of them baptized. The sons have both fallen away from their faith. Their wives are atheists. They've become atheists. Just ask for prayer.
Mm.
And that's my comment.
Yeah. Are they they're baptized, Sandy?
Well, my son, yes. They were raised through 12 years of Catholic education.
Yeah.
12 years.
Yeah.
Take them to your church. But I was not the greatest. I go back in my... I can clearly see as I have come alive in my faith. I never fell away, but I was a checkmark-the-box Catholic,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, as that is.
Sure.
That's sad. But I thought I was doing everything right.
Mm-hmm.
But I only come to find out as I awakened and learned more about my faith how not so great I was.
Well, hold on.
I blame myself.
Yeah. Hold on a second, though, Sandy, because you're speaking for a lot of parents and grandparents, including myself. Okay, first of all, we can't be so hard on ourselves. I understand maybe we weren't the best catechists in our family. I get it. But we did do the right thing by having our children go through the sacraments. So we did do the right thing. And that mark of they are marked for Jesus. Jesus knows them. Okay, so we do get a lot of credit, if you will, for that. So please don't be so hard on yourself. I had to jump in because we get a lot of people that call us that they are filled with guilt and regret and shame and remorse and everything you can imagine. They just feel like they're the cause of their children walking away. No, that's not necessarily true. The demons are very, very active. You can see that the world is broken and the world is very loud and it's pulling for their attention and it's distracting them and it's making them start to second guess what they have been taught. So I will just tell you this, Sandy, I'm not trying to give you a pass, but I've actually worked with people that you would think they are living saints. I mean, I'm not joking, living saints as parents, and their kids have walked away. So what do you say to that?
Well, I totally agree that at the time, you know, I've talked to priests, of course, I've taken to confession, you know, years ago when I realized, you know, that I thought how badly I failed, but they also told me, you know, that I did the best. Did I do the best I could at that time? Yes, I can say that honestly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, and I agree with you. It's the demons. It's Satan saying, you know, you're not good enough. And I know Jesus, forgive me. And I'm doing the best I can to make comments, or, you know, I'll pray for you. You know, taking great suggestions. You know, as y'all have said. To do with your adult children that won't listen. You know, you can't preach to them,
right.
But you can say things that might help, you know?
Well, yeah.
I continue to listen to y'all, and I continue to take your comments, you know, your advice.
Well, thank you, Sandy. You're so beautiful. But here's the other thing that I've learned too. We just have to live out our faith joyfully. We just have to really just let it exude from us and radiate towards the people that we love. And we just have to walk the walk and talk the talk. There's really, you know, we don't really have to do anything extraordinary, like, you know, preaching the Bible to them every second, or trying to have every answer if they ask us to why we believe this. We just have to live the faith and live it in a true, genuine way. And I think that's key. But I will tell you, Sandy, I mean, I've been in ministry since 1989, and both my kids are not practicing Catholics right now. But when people come up to me and they'll say, you know, how do you feel about that? You know, there was a long time that I felt terrible about it, but now I'm like, you know what? They have the mark on them. There's no way they can erase that mark. Jesus knows who they are. And I ask the saints and the angels to take care of them and put the right people in their path so that they can come back to the faith. And that's another reason, Sandy, why I work overtime to help Catholic Radio, because we Jerry and I have seen it, that Catholic Radio has helped many, and I mean many, so many we can't even count, come back to the faith. Because someday they're going to be listening in a rental car or something like that, and God is going to talk to them right through the radio. Sandy, you're awesome. God bless you. You hear the music. I got to let you go on that. Thank you, and have a beautiful weekend. Now Sandy can get started with her weekend. Okay, who's going to fill that phone line at 833-288-EWTN and make your comments about any relationship in your life? I need to hear from you.
When you call my name,
about relationship. Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. So if you have a relationship you'd like to talk about, or maybe James's call you want to comment on, or Sandy, please call in, because this is super important what we're talking about today. We're talking about marriage. We're talking about kids. And you know that the demons are they want to destroy marriages. They want to break up families. That's what they want to do. They're on a mission to do that. So if you have something to say about this, we're going to get to Abby in just a minute. Please fill those phone lines. Don't get started with your weekend yet, please. I always say that on Fridays because I mean it. 833-288-EWTN is the number to call. 833-288-3986. Please pick up the phone and dial in, because Matt is waiting to answer your call. And you can share your wisdom, your knowledge, your experience, or you have, if there's a certain relationship you'd like to highlight and just praise to the world, this is the show to do it once a month. 833-288-3986. And I'll say it again, I'll keep repeating it. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. You're part of the Take Two family. We love you to pieces, so call in. Okay, congratulations is going out to our longtime EWTN radio partner, Domestic Church Media, serving New Jersey with 4 AM and FM stations, is celebrating 16 years with EWTN. Congratulations to Jim and Cheryl Manfredonia and their great team at Domestic Church Media, from your friends here at EWTN. Oh, how I miss New Jersey. I love Arizona, but I miss New Jersey, especially the food and the people. I think I just loved growing up in New Jersey. Okay, let's hear what Abby has to say. And Abby is in Minnesota on Real Presence Radio. Hi, Abby. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi. I just wanted to make some comments on the, was it James?
Yes.
Two callers ago. So I found myself in a similar situation to his wife. My husband had, the entire time that we were dating, and for the first like 2 years of our marriage, been sort of dishonest about what he had been doing online with pornography and things like that. And I know he mentioned sexual brokenness. I don't know what that actually was, but I'm just going out on a limb here, seeing as 60% of men in the U.S. struggle with that. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to kind of challenge him and like push back on him a little bit, because he was saying how his wife's really struggling to forgive him, but I just wondered, like, what is he doing? So what really worked for my husband and I was being totally honest about literally everything. And you need to make sacrifices. Like, when you really hurt someone, if you want to rebuild that marriage, that relationship, that takes sacrifices. So my husband got rid of his smartphone. He has a flip phone. We have covenant eyes on our family's family computers. I have all of the information to our bank accounts. We share the bank accounts. I control the bank statements and everything. Like, he needs to be, I don't know what he's doing, but he needs to be totally open with everything. And she's going to struggle to forgive him if she keeps feeling like she can't trust him because he's giving her reason not to trust. So if he still has that smartphone that he was, you know, being dishonest with, it's going to be hard to not keep questioning and doubting. And if she still has that doubt rolling around in her head, it might be really hard to forgive because she doesn't know if she's still being hurt or not. So that was the first thing. And then the other thing that I thought I was thinking is that when someone's dealing with that, like, betrayal trauma, especially that sexual betrayal trauma, which is, like, the most intimate betrayal, and it runs so deep, like, you've totally broken that person down, and you need to build them back up. Like, he needs to be, like, if he was, you know, looking at other women, she needs to know that she's the only one in his eyes, and he needs to make her feel beautiful and cherished and constantly speak life into her and constantly tell her that she's beautiful and that he loves her and just be building her back up and up and up, because he broke her down. And I don't know. I just thought those were the two things that really jumped out at me. Like, I think there needs to be total honesty. Like, he should have no reason not to trust him, because he's removed every obstacle to trust in their marriage. Like, whether that's bank account information, a smartphone, anything. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, just build her up, speak life into her, because you tore her down. Like, that's mm-hmm. all I had to say. I just wanted to challenge him to, like, yeah, you know, just go a little harder, like, right, fight for her.
Abby, you nailed it. Okay, we give out virtual awards, and I'm going to give you the home run award for this call and your statement and your experience through this. You're a spot on, and I wish I had more time with James. That's why I offered our email, and anybody can email us take2@ewtn.com, because you are absolutely correct, everything you said, because you lived through it, but you're right on about how to handle it. When somebody is broken, and like you talked about betrayal trauma, when somebody is broken down and they don't know what to believe, and the doubts, like you said, are running through their mind, the other person has to have full honesty and transparency. Full. And it doesn't mean that they are being punished or they're constantly being held in their past sins. It just means that they need to show up in that way to help that other person get through it and heal. So for instance, you said it so beautifully, like let's say, for instance, a husband who has been unfaithful is on his phone. Okay. And automatically, it just by because of the past situation, the wife is going to be thinking, who is he talking to? And so it's his job to say, by the way, hun, I'm talking to a coworker because he didn't get his report in on time. It's his job to say that, not the wife to say, who are you talking to? Because it absolutely reinforces that hurt and that doubt in the spouse and the wife. And then the husband goes, well, why is she keep, you know, looking over my shoulder? You know, doesn't she know I'm just doing work? We don't. Okay. And I know, cause I was, I suffered, betrayal, Abby. So I totally get it. And, you're absolutely spot on. So that's why I was encouraging for them to start to build together slowly in a few moments of prayer. Hopefully she may be open to speaking to a priest and then a counselor, and then they'll work through that so that transparency and that honesty is there. But that's why, if you heard me say it, I don't know if you were talking to Matt at the time, but getting ready to be on air with us, but I said that, you know, to therapize each other, to kind of criticize each other and bring up the past, it doesn't go well. So that doesn't work. Rehashing the past never works, because it's just going to stir up all these old wounds. So it's something that needs to be approached in a different way going forward. And it can be exciting. You know, having full transparency and full honesty is very freeing, because you got nothing to hide. Right? If you have nothing to hide, you put it all out there. Where are you going? I'm going into the kitchen. Where are you going now? I'm going to work. You know, if you're telling the truth, it's very easy. It's wonderful. So I agree with you. Any other comments? I just wanted you to know I'm on the same, I have the same mindset as you.
No, I think that's my only comment. I feel like too, just approaching it like as if it was a brand new relationship. Like, I like what you said about starting new. Like, when you first start dating someone, they're suspicious of you. They don't know if they want to spend the rest of their life with you. And you have to prove yourself to that person. And you have to tell them, like, how much they're appreciated and how beautiful you find them. And, like, I feel like, yeah, just treating it as if it's a new relationship. Like, you have to win her back the way you won her the first time.
Absolutely. And be on your best behavior. And your best behavior means that you're going to be courteous and kind and compassionate and loving. And you're going to go the extra mile for that person, because you're trying to win their love. You're trying to, you know, get them to like you. Absolutely. Abby, you are awesome. Please call us again. Would you do that?
Sure. I like your show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. God bless you. I put you and your husband, and do you have children, Abby?
Yes, we have three children.
Okay, I put you all in the book, the prayer book. So we pray for the whole Take Two family.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Abby. Thank you. Call us again. God bless you. What a beautiful call. What a sweet soul. Okay, so let's go to, yes, that was a home run of a call. I'm getting messages coming in saying, did she get the virtual award? Yes, she got it. Carol in Shelby Township, Michigan on Sirius XM 130. Hello, Carol. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's Friday. I love Fridays.
Good, thank you. The reason I'm calling is, my grandchildren have been baptized. They have made their communion. One made their confirmation. Mm-hmm. But other than that, there's no other vaccine. I know my kids are not making them go to church on Sunday and that. Mm-hmm. The kids, the grandkids are open when I, you know, say, okay, let's say prayers before meal and that. But I want to inspire them a little bit more. I'd like to send them a text every day, like, you know, hey, be grateful for something, but Jesus has got your back today. Or can you tell me anything that I could say to them or text them that would be inspirational to young children under 14 that I can send them every day that might, you know,
super.
Just make them keep thinking of that Jesus is in their lives.
Sure. Really simple things like, you know, I just wanted to let you know God loves you so much. He created you. Jesus, just real simple. Jesus loves you. Or how about this one, Carol, that is a huge door opener for children to come back or to start practicing the faith. Maybe say something like, just remember your guardian angel is right beside you all day long.
Okay.
See, if you
Thank
leave,
you.
If, yeah, if you leave stuff like that, they start to go, what does that mean? What is my guardian? Who is my guardian angel? Oh, we gotta go to, these are your grandkids, right, Carol?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So they'll
I
say,
I should probably send it to my kids too.
But yeah.
For the grandkids is who I'm thinking of.
Yeah. See, what you want to do is like, it's simple statements, that, You want to leave them wanting more. So like, for instance, when I used to teach seventh and eighth graders, I would say to them all the time, you know, you guys, do you realize when you go out there and you're playing sports, your guardian angel's right beside you? And I would just stop. And they would say, Miss Deb, what do you mean my guardian angel's beside me? My guardian angel's playing football with me? What do you mean? What is it? So they want more. And when they want more, they're going to come back to the person who left them with that statement. Now, they may go to their parents, and their parents may say, oh, that's, you know, that's some Catholic thing. But eventually, they'll get to you, and they'll say, do I really have a guardian angel? What does that mean? And that's when you bring out the Psalm 91 in most translations, God's protection, which in the middle, it states it right there, that your angel is there to guard you and guide you in all your ways. You can bring out the guardian angel prayer, and you can tell them that every time you say the guardian angel prayer, that you are thanking God for this beautiful angel that's going to accompany you that in your entire life and right into heaven, God willing. And so it leads into that. Remember, God's a God of participation. So if you can find a way to get them hooked, they will ultimately come to Jesus, because it's pointing right to Jesus. It's kind of the same concept as when people say, well, why do we go to the Blessed Mother? Because she points us to her son. So it ultimately goes to Jesus. Do you see where I'm going with it?
Yes, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. So stuff like that. And if you need any help on the angels, you can always email me, take2@ewtn.com.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're a wonderful grandmother and mother. Thank you. Okay, we're going to get to Christine. And Christine is in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And I just want to make sure how Christine is listening on... Oh, Sirius XM 130. Okay, hi, Christine.
Good afternoon, Debbie. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. How are you?
Great. I'm wondering if you could help me.
Sure.
I want to provide advice or advise my sister, who is 45 years old and just found out she's pregnant, which was joyful news, with her second child. She's in a three-year relationship with a man to whom she's not currently married. So I guess technically they're living in sin, but she was previously married outside the church 20 years ago and left the church 20 years ago and has since divorced that first person.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an inkling she'd like to come back to the church and start anew and raise her second child in the church with this new man. And I'm wondering if there's a chance for her to come back to the church and then be married in the church and raise their child and baptize their child Catholic.
Okay, so currently right now she's in a second marriage. The first marriage was in the Catholic Church?
No, the first marriage was outside the church.
But she's a baptized Catholic.
And she didn't have that annulled or anything, but it was a civil marriage and they had a civil divorce, that first marriage.
Okay.
This relationship now, they are not married. So I would like to encourage them to discern getting back to the church, getting married
sure.
in the church, but I'm not sure if can or should.
Yeah.
Though I think their intention is to start fresh and to do things right.
Okay. Does she live near you, Carol? I mean, Christine, does she live near you?
Yes.
She does. Okay. So go to your parish. Here's what you want to do. Go to your parish, present your sister's situation to the pastor or deacon or the people that are doing the annulments there at the parish. Present the situation as you know it, and say what is the best path for my sister to come back, because she wants to do this the right way, to receive all the graces and to baptize her child and all of that. So I would present. Don't go into extreme detail. Let your sister do that if she gets an appointment with them, but just the general, like what you just shared on the radio here. And yeah. Christine, ask them how to do it. And then what I would do is when you have an opportunity to sit with your sister, I would say, "Hey sis, I just want to let you know there's a path back to the Catholic Church. Are you interested?"
Right. So if the baby's due in March, and is there a chance that if all goes well, she might be able to be married in the Catholic Church before March, before the baby comes? Or is this going to be a situation where the baby's going to be born out of wedlock? This is her child.
Okay. That's why I would go to the parish immediately. Call the parish like today if you have a chance, or tomorrow, or well, not tomorrow. They're not open tomorrow. Monday. Call Monday and explain the situation and see what you can accomplish, and see the baby's due in March. Let's see. You got 6 months. It depends. It depends on the situation. It depends on the circumstances. If an annulment is granted, if they find an impediment, sometimes it could take as long as 18 months, 2 years. Sometimes it's a quick lack of form type situation, and that could be less than 3 to 6 months. But that's when I was doing annulments for 2 years way back when. So things may have changed in the tribunal. But what you want to do, though, and especially you're in Canada, so I don't know how the tribunals are working there. But Christine, call your parish, explain the situation and the urgency, and see what you can do. I wouldn't be so stressed about the baby being born out of wedlock. What I would do is, if she's interested in having the baby baptized, focus on that. That's very important. Okay. Get the baby baptized. So talk to your parish and find out if there's a path back and how quickly your sister can get on that road. And then I would assist her, and I would do it. And if she's open, it's all the blessings, all the graces are just going to be flowing to her new baby coming into the world and her marriage. So let's pray for that. I put you in the book. If you have any questions or anything after the show, call, email me, take2@ewtn.com. Okay?
Okay, thanks very much, Debbie.
I have a good feeling about it, Christine. I have a good feeling, so keep me posted.
Well, let's pray. Yes, thank you.
Okay, and we're praying. God bless you. Okay, I wanted to share a couple things, because I'm trying to go quickly here because we have Jerry Usher with us. He's just connecting right now, but let me just share with our listeners. Join us for Women Made New on Saturday at 12 p.m. Eastern. This week is an encore of Kristalina Everett interviews Kathleen Beckman about making a decision to be a saint. I love it. That's a great program. Okay, do we have Mr. Usher with us? We do? No?
I am here.
Oh, there you are. Hi, hey. Jerry, from outside of Boston, Massachusetts.
Yeah, Weston, Massachusetts, to be exact, at Pope St. John the 23rd National Seminary. We just finished Mass. I've got a little bit of a break here right now. I thought I would come on and just chat with you folks for a few minutes before I go grab a bite of lunch.
That is wonderful. So one of our great listeners, loyal listeners of Take Two, Chuck, sent in a comment on the comment line of EWTN that he misses you greatly, Jerry. But he's gave me tons of words of encouragement that I'm doing great and he's enjoying the show. So everybody's been so kind. But I think it's safe to say that we all miss you, because we, you know, Charles and I have been talking a lot that, you know, after 9.5 years, you and I have become so addicted, if you will, in a good way, to the Take Two family. And we've done it together from day one. And I think we've only had one guest host, right? It was Tom and Elena, right?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
A long time ago. We've done every show together. And so it's kind of like this beautiful, you know, partnership in ministry that I think our Take-Two family appreciates. So you're definitely missed.
Oh, thank you. And I miss all of you as well. It's interesting you brought up the Take-Two family, because since I've been here at the seminary, there is a lot of time for, you know, quiet and prayer. You know, we have a lot of work to do, a lot of reading and assignments and exams, but there is a lot of time for prayer. And I have really felt the Lord in an even greater way than before. I used to pray for the Take-Two family all the time, but every day now, I just really feel led to pray for all of you, our wonderful listeners, the Take-Two family. I miss you a lot. I am sitting out, if you can put it that way, the show this first semester here at the seminary. Looking forward, God willing, to being back with you on some shows after the start of the year for the second semester of my first year of seminary here at Pope St. John the 23rd.
So classes, what is your, how is the classes going? Are you doing well? Or, I mean, what's it like?
I think the best thing I can say right now is I'm current on my reading. And why is that important? Well, every instructor assigns a lot of reading. I have a class on the Pentateuch and historical books of the Bible. I have a speech class, Introduction to Sacred Liturgy, a class on patristics, a philosophy course, and what else? I think that might be all of my classes. But yeah, so they assign a lot of reading and so forth, but it's really good. The attitude toward academics here is they tell us we're not here to train theologians. We're here to get you guys ordained and get you out there and ministering in the parishes for God's people. So there is a lot of support among the other men here. And then the instructors are very, very flexible and really do all they can. They bend over backwards to help us out in the classes. So it's really a great environment, even from an academic standpoint.
So you lived in California for many years. You grew up in the Pacific Northwest, right? You lived in California for many years. Then your diocese now is in Florida. Now you're in Massachusetts. Are you getting used to the weather there?
Well, it's been actually wonderful weather. It does get cold during the winter, but you know, it's still right now we have highs in the 70s, and really just a beautiful campus, beautiful grounds here in Weston. Weston is an amazingly beautiful neighborhood, a little bit to the west of Boston. So yeah, I'm getting acclimated. Everybody tells me, just wait until winter. But you know, I moved to Florida from a mountain town in California, so I'm not unaccustomed to winter weather and snow and things like that. So I think I'll be all right. I'd rather have it a little bit colder than a little bit too hot myself.
With the humidity, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Take-Two family is doing really good. They're keeping up on YouTube and Facebook and staying current with us and going on the take2show.com website. And they're sending in all just words, kind words of encouragement and support to keep all of us going until you can get back to us. And so again, you know, this is our show, a monthly show all about relationships. And of course we miss you, but here's something that is kind of bothering me a bit, because it is fall pledge drive season, Jerry, and you know that I'm doing the pledge drives alone. I used to do a lot of them with you. Right now I'm at Sacred Heart Radio, right? And so they miss you. They've been sending their kind comments and prayers. But Jerry, I'm starting to get this question, and it's kind of bothering me. Everybody's saying, Debbie, do you already have tickets to the ordination? And I'm thinking, what? So I don't know how that's going to work, Jerry, but you better make sure at least I get to see the ordination.
Oh, you're talking about my ordination. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. People are actually asking, how are we going to know what to do? And I'm thinking, isn't that a couple years out?
Well, yeah, you probably should make that clear to people. The seminary here, it's a four-year program, first theology, second theology, third theology, fourth theology. I was placed in first theology, and so I have this year and then three others after third theology. If God willing, by the grace of the Lord, I persevere and get to after third theology, there would be diaconate, transitional diaconate ordination, and then the following year, 2028, probably in May of 2028, would be the priestly ordination. I don't think tickets are necessary. I've been to two of the Orlando ordinations now as a seminarian. I'm not aware that tickets are required, but it would be great. Just stay tuned, folks. I'll be keeping you posted on, you know, important. Actually, I should mention, too, on October 30th, it's a Wednesday, Bishop David Toops, good friend of mine from the Diocese of Beaumont, Texas, will be here at the seminary, and he is going to confer what is called candidacy upon us. We request from our bishops, I have written a handwritten letter to Bishop John Gerard Noonan in Orlando requesting that I be received as a candidate for holy orders. It's kind of one of the steps along the way. It doesn't lock somebody into it, but it's sort of like a betrothal. You say, I'm really serious about this. I don't have anything else brewing in my life right now. I'm all in on this. So October 30th will be the candidacy for us. And I also want to say, folks, if there are any men listening, I'm 63 years old. I'm in the seminary. Are you in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s? Maybe you got a little, possibly a little hunch that God might still be calling you or put it on your heart to think about the priesthood. Give this seminary a call. Log on to psjs.edu. That stands for Pope St. John Seminary. psjs.edu.
So, Jerry, why don't you keep it and do the official sign-off? I'll give you the honors for the weekend with the Take Two family.
All right. Well, it's great to be back with you. I'll be popping in here every now and then. Again, thank you so much for your prayers for us and all of us at the seminary. We love you guys. Look forward to be back on the show with some regularity. Thanks to the show team. Thank you, affiliates, for carrying the program. And until Monday, we want to wish you a beautiful and blessed weekend. Talk to you soon.